open to let light in or have a night light in such a context. And that fear of darkness was not something that's restricted to children. There are certainly times in history in which people fear the darkness, and with good reason. Because after all, when an enemy was encamped against you, there was a good chance that they were going to attack by night. And so the night was feared, the darkness was feared, and they longed for the day when they could really see what was going on. And likewise, when someone was in a wilderness area and exposed to the elements, recognizing that there are beasts and wild things in the wilderness, predators that seek in the night, this could be a source of fear, and the dawn was longed for with great longing. We don't so much in the modern world, living in our civilized houses, fear darkness per se, the literal darkness. After all, we have electric lights and we can just turn on the switch and the light is on. We don't fear in the same way that they might have in other ages or as a child fears the darkness. But there are certainly figurative forms of darkness that we still do fear, that evoke fear in us, and we want to avoid at all costs. If at all possible, we want to avoid such darkness. And in a sense, this day, this Holy Saturday, is a journey through the darkness that begins at the beginning. At the beginning in Genesis, which we heard in the Genesis passage, that upon the deeps there was a great darkness, and God spoke, "Let there be light." And then we journey through the experience of Jonah and the three holy children, and finally culminating at the Lord himself in his tomb in the darkness. Consider the dark days that Jonah faced. God called him to preach to Nineveh, which in a sense was an enemy of his nation. And they were oppressed, and the times that he lived were not good. And God calls him to make a journey that's approximately 1,000 miles to the northeast, and Jonah didn't want to do it. Why would I want to go preach this message of repentance? So Jonah makes a tactical decision. He wants to go as far away as possible, and he gets on a ship going the opposite direction to the west. When the plan doesn't work out, as we heard in the book of Jonah, the reading this morning, a storm immediately threatens the ship, and even the sailors fear that they are going to perish in this great storm. And they recognize that this storm surely isn't an ordinary storm. They believe that that God has actually brought this storm upon them. And they cast lots, and the lots fall to Jonah. And finally he confesses who he is, what he's doing, and how he is in fact running from God. And when he is cast overboard, all is at well. All becomes well. The sea grows calm, and the sailors are at peace. Their darkness has ended, but the darkness for Jonah is just beginning. For Jonah, things go from bad to worse, because then he's swallowed by that great fish. And I can't say this from experience, but I can, with pretty good assurance, recognize that in the belly of a whale, there is not light. It's a dark place. So there is Jonah in the belly of the whale, in the utter darkness, thinking that surely his life is over. It's coming to an end. And there in the midst of the darkness, Jonah prays to God. And God hears him, God delivers him, and Jonah then complies with God's call and goes and preaches. The three holy children in Babylon likewise faced a kind of darkness. It was a different experience that they went through. They did the right thing. They had been captured by Babylon. They were taken as captives to Babylon and serving this foreign king. And the king has set up this great idol and calls all the nation to worship it, and they refuse. They decide they are going to remain faithful to God for under all circumstances. And as they refuse, they suffer the king's wrath. Though they face the threat of the fire of the furnace, they remain steadfast in their faithfulness to God. But their situation was dark. And if we were living in their days in their shoes, we recognize that that would be a dark situation to face. Here we're doing the right thing. We're remaining faithful to God. We're in this foreign land serving a foreign king. How much darker can it get? Doing the right thing, and then it goes from bad to worse. They're in trouble because they want to be faithful to God. Doing the right thing gets them in trouble. Looked as if they would perish along with their faithfulness. And there was no one who could deliver them from such a fate. From a human perspective, their situation was dark and hopeless. But as they're thrown in the fiery furnace, something miraculous happens. God intervenes. The guards who bore them up and threw them in perished in the heat, but the three of them miraculously remain unharmed. There's a mysterious figure that appears in the fiery furnace with them. And though the fire was hotter than comprehension, they remained unconsumed. God met them there in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the furnace, and he brought them through that dark time. And certainly as we consider today, Holy Saturday, our Lord's descent into Hades, his being laid in the tomb, is there anything darker than death? Is there anything darker than the grave or the tomb? Certainly on this day, the disciples faced the darkness. Think about what it was like for them on this day as their Lord and their Master was dead and in the tomb. All that they hoped that Christ would accomplish, all that they hoped that Christ in fact was, had come crashing down. There was Christ. He died on the cross. His lifeless body is now laid in the tomb, and all their hopes came crashing down with that. The situation was dark indeed. And if we back up a few hours to yesterday, in the final moments of Christ's life as he is suspended upon the cross, what is one of those sayings that he makes from the cross, one of his final sayings? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We recognize that for Christ personally, as he was suspended upon the cross, it was dark. It was a dark moment as Christ was suspended on the cross, because in those moments, he bore the sins of the world. And talk about darkness. You know, some of us know what it is to bear the burdens and the sins of others, but none of us know what it is to bear the sins of the world. That is indeed a dark experience. And as he takes the sins of the world upon himself, he who in fact is sinless, he who has done no sin, he takes the sins of the world upon himself, and he felt the effect of sin. Though sinless, he feels the result of sin, and Christ, the sinless one, in those moments on the cross, feels in his humanity separated from God the Father, something he has never known before. And certainly, theologically, there is no break in the Trinity, there is no break in the unity, but from the human perspective, the human feeling, the human emotion, as Christ was suspended on the cross, he felt the effect of the sins of the world placed upon him and separated from God the Father, and thus he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Indeed, it was a dark moment for Christ as he was suspended upon the cross. And then we recognize that on this day, his soul descends into the darkness of Hades, entering that place that no one could exit. There was a one-way ticket. You go in, but you don't come out. And the darkness of that place could not be overcome. But what does he do? He descends to Hades and he preaches to the captives of Hades. We recognize that each of these situations were indeed dark, but each of them were a temporary moment. As we heard in the Genesis account, darkness covered the deep, but God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. And so it is that God is in the practice of bringing light to the darkness, of reaching into the darkness that we experience in this life and bringing light in that situation, in that experience. When we face dark times, we think that the world will surely end. Yet God has a way of reaching into the darkness. God has a way of visiting us in the midst of the darkness. God has a way of bringing light to the darkness. Surely there could be nothing darker than the experience of our Lord upon the cross, bearing the sins of the world. Surely there can be no experience for us that's darker than the experience of sin and death. But Christ, the incarnate God, Christ our Lord, took these to the cross. He took them to the tomb. They were buried with him. Christ entered the darkness of sin and death and obliterated them. God has a way of reaching into the darkness and transforming it with his light. It is his creative action in this world. As he spoke light into the darkness, so it is that he brings light into our darkness. When the darkness of sin and death entered the world, God already had a plan of how to destroy them. And he destroyed them by he himself entering this world, bearing our sin, and destroying death by his own death. Whatever dark situation you may be facing today, and we all certainly face dark situations from time to time in life, recognize that in that dark situation, God is there. God is reaching out to you in the midst of the darkness. And today we remember that through baptism, we have been identified with Christ in his crucifixion, in his burial, in his resurrection. Those dark moments of Christ's life, we identify with him. We are unified with him, united with him in those experiences sacramentally. God has already reached into those dark human experiences, and as we are united with him, we see the way to walk in light and victory. We always must remember that the dark situations we face in this life are temporary. As God reached into the belly of the whale to deliver Jonah, so he delivers us. As God reached into the dark situation for the three holy children in the fiery furnace, so he reaches to us. As God spoke and brought light to the darkness, so he speaks to us and brings light to us. As the incarnate Lord took the darkness of sin and death to the grave and overpowered them, so he brings the resurrection to us. He brings the light and the victory to us. Sin and death are powerless before him. Let us identify with his victory. And whatever darkness we face, let us continue to follow the path of Christ. Let us follow him through the darkness to the light of resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.